Today's Bible reading is Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authorities in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you, everyone, for your wishes. And praise God for a church that supports and loves. Jeanette was there at their accreditation service, and Jeanette was telling her firmly that she's not going to let me go from this church. So thank you for your love. I hope everyone feels the same. Thanks, Jason, for that reading. That is the Great Commission that we received from our Lord Jesus. And most of the stuff that we are going to look at today kind of touches on that. I'm not going to explain that passage to us this morning, but there'll be other passages that will be coming through. I wonder if you want to maybe talk to the persons next to you, two or three people around you, and think about where these mission statements that I'm going to show appear. Where do you think they come? Okay? Talk to the persons next to you and yell out. Okay? Who could this be? Talk to the people next to you. You might need to glean something from people around you. Anyone? Sustainably? Suggestions? You thought it was health? No, it's course. There you go. All right. Check the next one. To accelerate world's transition into sustainable energy. The Greens. AGL, Tesla. I'm getting you. Next one. To give people the power to share and make the world more open and connected. Telstra. Any other suggestions? Facebook. All right, next one. To organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. Google. Fantastic. To refresh the world, to inspire moments of optimism and happiness, to create value and make a difference. It's longer. That side there are three dots in the middle, so it's more long. Sorry? It's food and beverage related, yes? Coca-Cola. I know. What about this one? Fantastic. Some of you recognize this. That's us. That is us. Good. If you want to check these statements, they are in our website, so you can check those brand new statements. Guided by the Holy Spirit. Guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our mission is to glorify God by living as Jesus' followers and witnesses. Mission statement tells us why we exist, don't we? It clarifies our purpose. So what we are going to do in the next this morning is to unpack this statement. And in the next few weeks, we're going to dive into our church vision statement as well and break it and talk about that too. So for us to understand, if you have been part of this church for the past few months, you may remember we adopted some of these new statements, a vision statement, a mission statement, and a set of values. So we're going to spend some time unpacking those in the next few weeks. Just as Jonah John Joe is going to do some safe church spring stuff. So you'll be hearing my church mission, vision stuff. So what is our mission? Why do we exist as a church? You just read. Our mission, in short, is to glorify God. Our mission is to glorify God. And this is why God created us. This is why God redeemed us. This is why Jesus died for us on a cross, so that we bring glory to God. In Isaiah chapter 43, we have these verses. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. God formed us, God created us for His glory. And the Bible, the word glorify and magnify kind of is often used interchangeably. They have the same function. They mean almost the same. Now, what does it mean to glorify or magnify God? Now, it does not mean that we have to beautify God, right? Some of us put makeup to make ourselves beautified, beautiful. We don't have to do that. We don't have to color wash God. We don't have to put a gold chain around His neck or a beautiful garland. We don't have to dress Him up. No, because He is magnificent. He's magnificent eternally. Beyond our comprehension. Some of you know Pastor John Piper, who is a pastor in the States, and he helpfully explains there are two kinds of magnifying or glorifying. There is one kind where you have the telescopic magnifying, and then the other kind is the microscope magnifying. You see, the microscope magnifying, you take something small and then you expand. You kind of look at it in a bigger way. You probably recognize this in the past few years. And the telescope magnifying, it kind of gives us the bigger picture of something bigger. It helps us to make things begin to look as big as it is. So in Luke, Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she sings, I will glorify, my soul glorify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God. She's not saying, I'm going to make this small God look bigger. Now she means, I will make this big God begin to look big as He really is. See, friends, we are not called to be microscopes. We are called to be telescopes. We should not be like those salespeople who come and gloat and boast about their products beyond what they should be to make them bigger and better than what they should be. No, we are to glorify God. We are to describe Him and show Him as He really is, glorious. As a God of the universe who is superior to who is superior than anyone and anything. We tell of His goodness, His majesty, the last song that we sang, great in glory, great in power, great in mercy. Everything about our God is great. And Peter, in his letter, first letter, he says this. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? So that you may declare praises, glories, excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That is our mission. That is why God created us as a church and as individuals. That is why we exist. But how do we do it? How do we do it? If we don't have to dress Him up, we don't have to put makeup and then make Him look good, if we don't have to make Him look big, how do we glorify Him? Look at our mission statement. There are two ways that we do, don't we? By living as followers of Jesus. Now, according to the very trusted source of Wikipedia, as of the 3rd of August, the most followed person is Cristiano Ronaldo. 472 million followers. And he's followed by Kylie Jenner, who is 363 million followers. Now, as we think about it today, that is what it means to follow someone, isn't it? When we follow someone, we know all the gossip, we see their pictures, we follow their news, where they're at. And we kind of watch them from a distance. But there's no commitment. We don't have to do anything for them. There's no relationship. And this is what people think today, isn't it? When they think about following. But this is entirely different to the first century following. You know, remember when Jesus called His first disciples, He said, "Come, follow Me." When He said, "Come, follow Me," He didn't want them to do it from a distance. No, He invited them to His home. He said, "Come and see where I lay, where I sleep." He ate with them. He spent time with them. He enjoyed having fun with them. He invited them to have a relationship. He invited them to have a commitment. They became disciples of Jesus. They didn't have two, three masters that they followed. No, they committed to one. And as disciples, they engaged with the ways and the works and the words of Jesus. They were like these apprentices, right? They were learning from Jesus how to live, how to do ministry. And then Jesus sends them out. Okay, you go and practice. They imitated Jesus. They followed Jesus. Now you might ask, well, why do I have to follow Jesus? Why can't I follow someone else? Why can't I follow maybe a guru or Lord Buddha or an influential person in history? Why can't I follow them? Why should I follow Jesus? Now, we should follow Jesus, friends, because it was Jesus' mission to glorify God. In John 17, verse 4, Jesus says, "I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you have given me to do." And how did Jesus glorify God? He glorified God by being obedient to God, didn't he? He was the only human who was found sinless. He obeyed God to the point of dying on a cross. He glorified God by being dependent on God. You know, Jesus didn't have to pray, but he still went early in the morning. He took time from his busy schedules to go and pray, to be dependent, to listen to God. And he glorified God by serving others, didn't he? He gave examples of service to others. He ate with sinners. He washed the feet of his disciples, and he said he forgave those who were killing him. Again, Pastor John Piper, he coined this term, didn't he? He said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And if you think about the life of Jesus, this was his mission. He was fully satisfied in God. And that's why he was able to obey God. That's why he was able to love him and depend on him and serve his people. And when we follow Jesus, when we become disciples of Jesus, we follow Jesus' model of glorifying God. We learn from him to bring glory to God by being fully satisfied in God alone. Now, if we glorify God by being followers of Jesus, then the next question some of you might be asking, especially if you're not a Christian, is how do I become a follower of Jesus? Following Jesus begins by believing in Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, we are told, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, the Bible says clearly that we deserve to be punished by God for ignoring him and disobeying him, which the Bible calls sin. But God, in a great act of love, he sends Jesus to take our place on a cross, to take our punishment on him, so that he can rescue us from God's wrath or God's punishment. And to those who believe in Jesus, God offers forgiveness. He offers fellowship with him. So a follower of Jesus then is a believer of Jesus. But how do we believe in Jesus then? We believe in Jesus when we see him, when we hear him, when we know him. And how do we see, how do we know, how do we hear him? Do that. Through his witnesses, isn't it? His disciples. That is one way of seeing, hearing, and knowing who Jesus is. And this is why in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his disciples just before he was taken up into heaven, he says, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He calls us to be witnesses, and that is the second way we glorify God, don't we? By being witnesses of Jesus. And how do we become witnesses of Jesus? We become witnesses of Jesus in word. When we share the good news of Jesus, when we talk about Jesus and what he has done, when we share the hope that we have in Jesus, we become witnesses of Jesus in word. Romans chapter 10 is a beautiful passage, isn't it? It's a beautiful chapter where Paul explains that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the reality. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he goes on to say, how then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Because friends, he continues to say, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. We glorify God when we share the message of Jesus to others so that they too can become followers of Jesus. And they can begin to glorify God. It could be through preaching. It could be through teaching, sharing your testimony. It could be reading the Bible with someone, giving someone material to read and following up. Just don't give a track and just leave it with them. No, follow people up. Because people need to hear the story of salvation. The truth about Jesus. I was at a workshop last week and I was told about this story that people believed in one of the countries where a false prophet went and said there was going to be a doomsday on the 31st of August. There was going to be this worldwide flood. And everyone kind of sold their properties and they said, like, come to this mountain, this hill. That is the only place that you'll be safe. So people sold their properties, they gave up their overseas jobs, and they rocked about 20,000 people onto this hill, and nothing happened. And this presenter said, you know, when people don't know the truth, they will believe in any story. Friends, we have the true story. And we must share this story with people around us so that they can believe in Jesus. We become witnesses in word, we become witnesses in deed, don't we? If I become a follower of Jesus, the way we'll live will tell a great deal about who Jesus is. A few weeks ago we said that we saw how what Jesus said, isn't it? We said, the world will know you are my disciples when you, remember, when you love one another. In Matthew chapter 5, we read these words that Jesus says, you are the salt, you are the light of the world. And he said, let your light shine before men. When he said that, he didn't mean that you go around with a torch. He meant doing good deeds. Show kindness, be generous, seek justice, forgive, be patient, care for the planet, as we looked last week. Look after the poor, feed the hungry, visit the sick. Work hard at bringing peace in situations. Because when people see this radical way of living, living like Jesus, people will see your good deeds, Jesus says, and they will do what? They will glorify your God, your Father in heaven. Friends, our mission is to glorify God, and we do that by being followers and witnesses of Jesus. But here at Burwood Baptist, but the Bible says that we can't do that on our own. We can't glorify God on our own strength, on our own wisdom. And that's why he has given us his Spirit to empower us, to guide us. He's the one who will help us. And if you think about it, we cannot be followers of Jesus unless the Spirit works in us, right? He's the one who convicts us of our sins. He's the one who convicts us of our need for Jesus. And he's the one who helps us to believe in Jesus. And when we have believed in Jesus, he's the one who does the work of transformation, the whole restoration work, making us more and more like Jesus. growing in us the fruit of the Spirit, helping us to love and to have love and joy and patience, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, self-control in ever-increasing way. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives gifts to us, isn't it? To serve. He gave some to be apostles, some to be teachers, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors. He gave some the gift of healing. He gave some the gift of speaking in tongues to God. He gives some the gift of discernment. Why? Because He wants us to glorify God. In Acts chapter 1, it is no wonder, isn't it, when before He told the disciples to go and be witnesses, He says, no, wait, right? He said, wait. Wait till you receive power from above. Do not leave Jerusalem, He said. Wait. Only when they had received the power from above, from Holy Spirit, they were to go. And when they did, they were unstoppable, weren't they? So here at Burwood Baptist, this is what we believe. Unless the Holy Spirit empowers us, unless the Holy Spirit guides us, you know what we are doing? We are going to glorify ourselves. We are going to put Burwood Baptist in the map. We are going to put ourselves in the map if we are not guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our calling is to glorify God. And if we want to bring glory to God by being followers and witnesses of Jesus, we must be guided and empowered by the Spirit of God. And how do we do that? We must spend more time in prayer, friends. This is something we want to do here at Burwood Baptist. We value prayer. We want to stay connected to God. We want to have more times of prayer where we seek His wisdom, where we seek His guidance. And we must ask God to show us the gifts that He has given us. Each one of us here is gifted by the Spirit. We all have gifts because God has not brought you here without a gift to serve. I was telling at my accreditation service on Friday, if you had asked me 20 years ago whether you wanted to become a pastor, I have said no. Faustin, before we got married, she asked, are you going to become a pastor? I said, no, I don't want to preach. I don't want people. But then God had His way, and then He gave me opportunities to pastor, and He gave me opportunities to be affirmed by not just myself and Faustine, no, with a bigger body of Christ, a denomination. So take opportunities to serve. For some of us, we don't know what spiritual gifts that we have until we use them, until we kind of try things out. If it is not, just we'll tell you, it is not your gift. But serve. And we must take time to listen and to obey to the promptings of the Spirit. When He shows us things that we need to change, maybe things like our behavior or something, we must listen and change. And we must prayerfully discern His wisdom for our living. And we must also acknowledge that the Spirit of God is at work, not just in me, but everyone else around us. We are all a work in progress. And as we discern strategic priorities for our church, we must spend time listening to the Spirit. Because the only way we can know the mind of God, the only way we can know how we can glorify God through programs or whatever we do here, is by listening to the Spirit who knows the mind of God. We must ask God to grow in us the fruit of the Spirit. So guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, our mission is to glorify God by living as followers and witnesses of Jesus. In a moment, we're going to take part in communion. But before that, I'm going to ask you to do what you did before. Just turn around. You might want to turn your chairs around. Talk to two or three people around you. I've got a few questions for you to talk about. Think about the sermon today. Think about what is one thing that stood out for you from the sermon today. What is one thing you want to do this week that has come out from the sermon? What is one thing that will be a challenge for you that you need to pray about? So do that. Take about 5 minutes. Just turn around, turn your chairs if you want to, and then afterwards we'll do communion. So, okay, do that. Good. Great sermon. With me and I'll show you my glory. Abide in. All right, make those your last points. So in the days to come, I think this is something that we would do, not every Sunday, but we would kind of get you to talk among. So I think it is good to kind of think about, before we leave the place, talk about it. It'll stay in your mind. Okay? Great, fantastic. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity for us to think about why we exist, why you have created us. And Father, we've seen, Father, the mission that we've adopted here in our church is not something that we've just come up with out of the blue. No, it is from your word. This is your desire. So we pray, Father, help us through your Spirit to glorify you by being good followers and good witnesses of Jesus. Amen. They're going to take part in communion. If you have not received the communion pack, put your hand up. One of us will bring that to you. Fantastic. There's one over there, please. Thank you. When we take communion, we take bread and we eat bread. And then we drink from the cup. These are beautiful reminders for us of the death of Jesus and what it achieved for us 2,000 years ago. We remember that we are forgiven. We are called His sons and daughters. We remember what we've talked about today, and we have become His followers and witnesses. And communion is for believers. If you have believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, you are very welcome to take part in communion. But if you have not believed in Jesus, if you have doubts, we won't pressure you to take communion. Take this time as a time to reflect who Jesus is and what He has done. And if you have any questions, please feel free to come and chat to us about who Jesus is. And let me read these verses from the book of Luke. This is Jesus at the Last Supper. When the hour came, Jesus and His disciples and His apostles reclined at the table. And He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, He gave thanks and said, "Take this cup and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus took the bread and He broke it as a symbol of what was going to happen. And we, as we see this bread being broken, we remember what happened 2,000 years ago. The body of Jesus was broken for us, for our forgiveness, that we can be followers of Him and witnesses of Him for God's glory. Let's eat this bread together. You might want to take off that second seal of your cup. After that, Jesus took the cup and He said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." We are the body of Christ. So let's drink this together and give thanks for the body of Jesus that was broken. Let me pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this wonderful privilege this morning of reminding ourselves again that we belong to you because of our Lord Jesus Christ. You redeemed us through Jesus so that we can bring glory to you. So help us, Father, this day, this week, and the months and years to come, to live lives that bring glory to you, to be good disciples of Jesus, and to be witnesses of Jesus. We ask this for your glory. Amen.